Come with me, and you'll be in a world of your imagination. Take a look, and you'll see into your imagination. We'll begin with a spin, traveling in the world of my creation. What we'll see will defy explanation.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to another episode of the Roadie Roundtable presented by Lakeside Players. My name is Norgi.
And I'm Alex.
And today's episode, we are talking about the next show here at the Lakeside Players Roadie Theater. It's called 39 Steps, which opens this Friday, March 15th, and then runs through the 24th. We are joined today by the directing team of the show, Steve Matner and Clara Tappa. Welcome, and thank you for joining us, guys.
Glad to be here.
Great to be here.
I want to start it off very, very simply because the two of you have been involved here with Lakeside Players for a very long time. And so can you tell us a little bit about your experience here at Lakeside Players, all the things that you've done, and sort of what led you to 39 Steps and everything else?
Yeah, I don't think we have that much time, Norgi.
Give us the Shakespeare abridged version.
Well, I told her that, combined we have 71 years combined. So,
yeah, long time.
Long time for our 50th season. So that would make it two of us 100. And we've done 71. No, I don't know.
He's not a math major.
I am not a math major.
Me either.
So how did you guys get started here then?
Yeah.
Like what brought you to the theater?
I started in high school, and we weren't here at the Roadie. We were at Kemper Center and did a few years there. And I remember when Judy Rossow brought the idea of us, moving into this building, coming into it in those early days before we owned it. And, you could see the sky. It was in pretty rough shape, but you could tell it was quite the gem underneath. And we ended up working out, the situation where we moved in and took ownership of the building. And then Steve and I actually met doing a show.
What was the show?
At the Roadie.
Go ahead.
Who Done It?
Ooh.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, the first time. That's where we met, and then we ended up doing the show again a few years ago.
So when you, the show, Who Done It, when you guys met, were you just actors in the show? Were you part of the crew?
Actors.
Okay.
Yeah, we had 11 parts for the show, and I think we had 11 people audition. And I got the smallest part. So.
He was new to the theater.
I was new. Then. Yeah. So that usually happens. I mean, no experience. And
well, in the end, you got the biggest prize.
I did.
Aww, nice. Alex.
Nice.
That's why Alex is here.
I don't know where we go from there. Wow.
End of show. There we go.
So you
You're
guys,
welcome.
What, and you guys don't have to answer this. You met during a show here, Who Done It, which was however many seasons ago. And now you're here. At what point did the two of you start getting into more of the directorial or crew stuff where you transitioned from actors? Because when I met you, Steve, you and I did a production of The Odd Couple where you were an actor. So I didn't know that you directed anything. And then I met you, Clara, at Wizard of Oz last year, which was a huge production, which Steve was also in, Alex was also in. And I didn't know that the two of you had directed anything. So when I heard that you guys were directing, I thought, oh, that's a fun change. But then I was like, oh, they've directed lots of shows in the past. So when did that transition start?
For me, it started in 93. I directed a thriller called I'll Be Back Before Midnight. Nobody else applied for the show, and looking to get into the director part of Lakeside, I applied, and then I had to have I had to have a director that was known to the company be my assistant director. So I asked Amy Condary to be my assistant director, and then they allowed me to direct here. And that was the last time I did anything but comedy, because I just want to laugh. I don't want to be all serious down here. So
that answers my next question. What kind of shows do you like to do?
So, yes, I stick to the comedy end.
Yeah. So when I first started, I actually was on crew. And then I played a few roles. And I didn't do the directing end very much. I've only done a few shows, really, from the director side. But I've done just about every other role, type of role in a production, if you will, over the years.
Do you find the performing aspect or the directing aspect to be more enjoyable for yourselves?
You go first.
I love to perform. I do like to direct. I enjoy stage managing as well, but performing, I probably get the most satisfaction out of. But as I get older, it's weird. As I get older, larger roles tend to make me a little anxious. The memorization end of it, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know. And takes a lot of energy.
Yeah. Well, I will say, because I met both of you through Wizard of Oz, which was my first show. And I remember when we got to the first read through, because I didn't know a single person here except for China. You don't do it, Norgie.
Don't do what?
You know what I'm talking about. Every time I say China's name.
Oh, right. I'll put that in post.
I got to the read through and you started reading for the Wicked Witch, and this is in no way an insult to you, but I was like, oh my God, she sounds just like the movie.
That was actually a comment that flew around a lot about your performance as the Wicked Witch, I should say.
Yeah, and there were some times as the Cowardly Lion where I was like, she might actually kill me. She might take off one of her boots and throw it at my head.
That I think that is my favorite role.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why, but.
You like being mean to kids. Yeah, I'm kidding. Totally kidding.
That's why we all get into theater, so we can be mean to kids.
Yeah.
Out of curiosity, because Steve alluded to this earlier, what is your favorite kind of show to direct?
To direct?
Sure.
Well, not musicals.
That's fair.
I do enjoy comedy. But Steve, that's really his thing. He's really good at that. I just like a good show. I like a show that you can be creative with, and it really doesn't matter the genre.
Sure. Yeah.
The writing, I mean, when you're doing a serious show, has to be there. I mean, it's, well, probably for any show, but writing means a lot when you want to do a good show, because I mean there's a lot of stuff that just doesn't go over well if it's not well written.
Is that what drew you to the 39 Steps, to kind of segue into the topic?
What drew me to 39 Steps, well, I wanted to be part of the 50th season, and I looked over the what's out there, and we had seen 39 Steps at Bradford, and then our daughter Bailey's roommate was assistant stage manager at Drury Lane when they were performing 39 Steps, and we saw it there, and both times it was hilarious, and I don't know how much I could add to it, but we're between Bradford's production and Drury Lane's, I think we're in the middle somewhere there, that we're doing a little more than Bradford did. Completely just black box, no furniture. And Drury Lane spent God's amount of money on their production, and it was wonderful. And And we just did a little bit in between there somewhere.
And Clara, what were you just dragged along with Steve, or did you also have a say in the decision?
No, I mean, it was really Steve was doing it, and we decided to do it together. I mean, it's a great show. He mentioned Bradford's production, and they had some just really fabulous students doing that show. I had never heard of the show. There was one gentleman in that show that we saw and were very impressed by, brought him into another production that we were in together, Superior Donuts.
It's a fun show.
Mm-hmm. That was a great show.
Well-written show.
Oh. Yeah, another, yeah. But no, it's reminds me a little bit of Death of a Streetcar Named Virginia Woolf that we did in 2020, just before the world shut down. That Steve directed, I was in, and that is just a fantastically funny show. So there's a little element of that kind of thing going on with this show. Clever, there's just so much there that you can work with and take advantage of and put on stage for people to laugh. Love to make people laugh. We got enough sadness in this world.
So obviously this show is based on, or I should say that there is a very well-known film version of the show, Alfred Hitchcock. And so when you think Alfred Hitchcock, you obviously think horror or thriller, you know, Psycho, The Birds, so on and so forth. What can you say about this show that maybe could either confirm some things or dispel some things just that have, because of the Alfred Hitchcock name being associated with the show, that people should maybe know coming in to see the show?
You're not going to see a Hitchcock play or show. This takes full comedic advantage of the script and what's going on. There's a serious undertone, what they're dealing with, the characters in the show, but everything is for comedic value.
Yeah, and even two of the characters are just Clown 1 and Clown 2.
Actually, we have Clown 1, Clown 2, and Clown 3.
Oh, and yeah. I finally got to see Clown 3 act today, mm-hmm. and it was probably my favorite thing I've seen so far. It was hilarious, and I'm going to start doing that little thing she was doing just in normal life.
That's what's so fun about theater is it turns you into a people watcher and to use things that just in normal life and exaggerate on it and make it funny. I love that. I love it.
Yeah. And for context, that's Holly DeYoung, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She was also in Wizard of Oz with us.
Yes.
And she is a phenomenal actress. And this little moment she comes in, it's only for a moment in the show, but it leaves such an impact because it's just so ridiculously funny. And I've been the person who's been coming in and taking pictures and some little promotional videos.
Because you're a creep.
Yeah. And so I've seen the show in its entirety, but in bits and pieces. And this show is wild. You have five people in the cast, but there's like 70 characters, and the two, three clowns switching between all these characters. At one point, they're on a train, and they're each of the clowns are playing like three characters at a time. And at one point, Monica's waving an old lady wig around in the air, and
and then having to switch not only between the wigs, but also the different accents and voices that these characters have and do it with a straight face, because I laugh just looking at it. And I know if I had to be in this show and do that, I probably couldn't make it successfully because I'd be laughing the entire time.
Which brings up a question. How did you guys do accent coaching for them?
We brought someone in.
Okay.
Rachel Swartz from Parkside.
Okay.
Yeah. Fantastic. Oh my gosh. She's so good.
Yeah.
We brought her in, but I'll tell you, these folks that when they auditioned, they all brought something to the table in terms of dialect. So we knew from the start that they would be capable of really honing that and bringing it to the stage.
Yeah. All our actors, we're so fortunate to have them. They're very good.
Yeah. What do you think has been the most challenging accent for them to?
Scottish is a challenge. Yeah. Especially when they're doing the other accents. And they've got to switch. And like you said, the clowns switch so often. So that is really one of the most fun things about this show. The gentleman who plays Hene is the only actor with one role in the show. So Aaron plays three leading ladies. And then between the clowns, like you said, they play dozens of parts.
Yeah.
But it feels like Sean's playing many parts, I'll tell you.
He
uses his body, his everything to create his character.
He's very animated, very, very much so. And I even heard you give him a note that he acts down to his toes, and that's so true.
He does.
That's a really interesting way to give an actor like a note or a compliment. Like, you don't think about that, but like sometimes you use your whole body and no one ever says anything, but to say, hey, you act down to your toes, I like that a lot.
Yeah,
his feet are a character in and of themselves. And when you come and see the show, you will see that.
Yeah. So can you give us a little synopsis of the show? And I know that it's hard to say because there's a lot going on from start to finish that sort of twists its way into the storyline and narrative. But if you could give the listeners just a brief sort of overview of what the show is about and also maybe the time period and that kind of thing.
Sure. So it opens in London and, you know, this is the 30s. So you imagine what's going on in Europe at the time. That's all right. So 30s, London. This is an espionage story, right? Spy story. This is a gentleman who suddenly finds himself in an espionage type of situation when he's having a bored night at home, decides to go to the theater of all things, and that's where the fun commences. And it follows him trying to carry out a mission that gets cut short. So things get put into his hands to try to carry out and save the air defense of England. And you've got your villains, and I'm sure as anyone can imagine what might be going on in Europe in the 30s and who might be villainous. Don't want to give away anything, but it's done, again, very serious undertone, right? We're talking about war and countries pitted against countries and other just really heinous things going on, but it is turned into as comedic of a romp as one can make it.
And for our listeners out there, for the simple price of one ticket, you too can get caught up in an espionage plot.
There we go.
And then see the show afterward.
Yeah.
I do have to say that, and again, I don't want to give away too much, but for the people who have seen shows here at the Rodian, there are two auditoriums. There's the bigger Donna Theater, and then there's the Skinner Theater, which we're in now, and that's where the show will take place. There are some really creative things that you guys are doing in the show that I think are going to be really, really fun and great that people will enjoy. And like I said, I don't want to give away anything, but I think that there's something here for everyone as far as a visual, oratory, whatever the case may be. Like, there's a lot going on in the show, and I think there's not a way that you couldn't be entertained by coming to see the show. There's a lot to be encompassed in with everything going on.
Thank you.
What has been the biggest challenge for you two as directors when it comes to a show of this nature, where you do have actors having to juggle dozens of parts and you have like espionage to create?
Go ahead again.
Well, I think the challenge has been the variety of everything. So not just the roles, but helping, assisting the actors with their characters in terms of the costuming. You know, we want to give enough to help them and to help the audience, but yet not too much that it interferes with the pace of the show. We're using the smaller stage and trying to create all of these different scenes.
35 scenes.
Very, wow. Yeah.
Very, that's it?
Just, yeah, that's all.
Just a meager 35.
And so in this space, Steve has just done an incredible job of conceptualizing and then bringing to reality all the things going on in here.
It's a beautiful set.
Yeah, yeah. It really is. And then with the sound and the lights and props and just trying to bring it all together, it's, you know, I work full time. Thankfully, Steve's retired now, so he's got a little more time, but he's, you know, been the main set builder. So it's fitting that all in, right? Having yeah. time to do it all. And everyone's a volunteer. Everybody's doing this outside of normal everything life. Else they have going on in their life. And we couldn't be more appreciative of the time that our actors have spent learning their lines. I think I had lines called, you know, I can count on my hands the number of times that actors called for lines. And for Tracy at home, If you listen to Smartless, you know what I'm saying. But when an actor calls for a line, it's when they forget what their next line is and they call out and somebody tells them what it is. Our actors committed their lines to memory so quickly, which was so important because it's such physical.
Thank you.
Because it's such physical comedy and you really got to get those scripts out of your hands as quickly as possible. And they did that. And that's been fantastic.
Yeah, I will say because I came in, two, three weeks ago to take the first round of pictures, and they already were scriptless. And I was like, wow, because we were like butting up against Tech Week for Blythe Spirit and people were still like calling for line. And I was like, to come in here and like, especially Sean and Aaron, and they have huge line loads. I mean, everybody has huge line loads.
Yeah, they do.
And I didn't hear anyone calling for line. Yeah. And also the set, Steve, for you, I've never seen anything like this on this stage. This is so impressive and so exciting for me as somebody who wants to direct more shows in the future, to see that this stage doesn't necessarily have to be a blank canvas with some chairs on it. It can be a little bit more than that. And you're adding engineering, like with the wiring up here for the airplanes and stuff. It's very, very cool to see the innovation that we can have on this stage.
Yeah. Well, when you're dealing with planes and trains and automobiles and living rooms and bedrooms and offices and such, I mean, I had in my mind a switchblade knife, Swiss Army knife, where you can turn a wall into many different things, and that's what I was hoping for, and I think we got a few of that happening.
Yeah, for sure. And today was the first time I saw this pop-out piece for a hotel scene or something? I didn't know that part of the wall pops out into a counter. And then you
surprise.
Have
surprise.
Like, I know.
This beam up here that acts as your bridge, and you have all kinds of stuff going on. It's very fascinating to watch. And every time I watch it, I'm like, well, I didn't know the wall did that. Well, that's new.
Thank you.
And the other thing I've never seen in here is you have box seating. You have two special seats up here next to the stage. I've never seen that.
Those are just for you, Alex.
Thank you.
Yeah. One time only.
It's the press box.
I lost a bunch of weight recently, so I don't need two seats.
Well, you can put your snacks and stuff on the other seat.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Alex was asking about the difficulties of directing the show, and certainly I'm sure there are lots of them, but I think it's worth asking, certainly not because I'm trying to make light of it, but as a couple, is there anything about directing a show that maybe is difficult because of the relationship that you have, and perhaps maybe some advice for people, because you're not the only couple that directs shows together. What works for you? What doesn't work for you? How many times, Clara, have you hit Steve over the head?
What works is when Steve says yes. So we try really hard not to argue or disagree. But, you know, that's not realistic.
That's fair.
So Steve comes up with a lot of ideas, and then I, you know, try to pull them back a little bit. Just like we tell, well, what Steve tells his actors is, take it as far as you can, and I'll tell you when I want you to pull it back. And I feel like that's kind of what we do. Steve takes it as far as he can, and then I tell him when to pull it back.
That sounds like a great balance.
I feel like there's some subtext there.
We're still talking about theater.
Yeah, of course.
That sounds like a good balance, though, that you have somebody... you need that. You need somebody who's going to say, hey, let's shoot for the clouds, and the other person like, keep a foot on the ground. How about?
And certainly don't want to make this awkward, but Claire, you have to go. You've yes. got some prior commitments, so we want to thank you for being on the episode and giving your perspective on things, and we're still going to talk with Steve, but we wanted people to know that since you're leaving, that all of a sudden they won't hear you. It's not because you're not talking anymore. It's because you have a commitment that you need to get to. So,
yeah.
So
thank you for joining us.
Yes,
thank
absolutely.
You. It was fun.
Yeah, for sure.
So, Steve.
Yes.
It sounded like I forgot your name, but I totally didn't. I just was the question in my head. Do you find that as a director, because you've been in a lot of shows, I'm sure. Do you find that as a director that do you approach directing a show from an actor's perspective, or do you approach it from like a completely like outsider's perspective? Because I always feel like when you're a director, you kind of have to be an actor, but sometimes that might get in the way. Maybe the question's a little more confusing than it's supposed to be. But can you speak to that at all?
Well, I find it a good question. I don't, this is like, I haven't thought about it, so I'm thinking about it. I enjoy both aspects, and when I direct, I feel like I'm painting a moving picture. And when I'm acting, I try to stay within myself and bring to the stage what I can give. Is that answering your question? I don't know.
I think that's a good answer.
Yeah, and it alludes to a metaphor I've made in the past where, like, when you're an actor, you're kind of like a brushstroke in the painting, but when you're a director, you're the painter of the painting.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's much deeper than I, you know, was going with it. I was... Okay. Confusing the issue, so I apologize, but no, that's a beautiful answer.
And you have mentioned that your favorite type of shows to do are comedies. So what is your approach to comedy? Because comedy is very difficult. Comedy is so subjective. So
it is.
What is your approach to try to make something as universally funny as you can?
Well, if it makes me laugh, I know it's going to make everybody else laugh, because I'm not an easy... person to come on, be loud about laughing.
Right.
It's all in here, like some of those old comedians used to say. It's funny in here. I forgot the question.
How do you approach comedy?
How do I approach comedy? I approach comedy. You're stumping me, Alex. You're stumping me.
Well, do you let the script speak for itself, or do you try to input little things that are extra bits that are not in the script?
Oh, always add to it. There are some writers that think they know everything about comedy, and they try to write it that way, and it can be funny. But I there's always room to grow. You see something, like I tell my actors now, I see them doing something funny and I go, oh, if you would just taken it one more step, it would have made, belly laughs and right. rolling in the aisle type thing. And they want to understand that. And you can't see that when you're on stage. You have to have an objective eye. And I really enjoy helping actors create that. I think what happened was I was in about my third show, and I was backstage. I had a part in this show, and people were looking for the funny in things. And I said, "Well, if you would just do this, I think you would get a laugh." And then another actor would ask, and I said, "If you do this, I think you'll get a laugh." And pretty soon the director was laughing his butt off, and we were having a good time and having a good show, So then they were saying to me, well, maybe you need to direct. And I was saying, well, maybe I will. So,
what is your, in all your experience with theater, what's your favorite show that you've directed? What's your favorite show that you've been in? And perhaps are there shows that you have a dream show you'd like to direct, or a dream show that or role that you'd like to be in?
I hope I haven't found that show that I dream to be in. I don't. That's I'm getting up there. I don't have any. I always love playing character parts. I never went for the leads, probably because I couldn't get a lead with. Yeah, I have a face for radio.
Or podcasts.
There you go.
Great.
We were just talking about this the other night with one of the actors. My favorite show, well, this is Climbing the Ladder, this one. I had the blast of my life with the last one we did in 2020 with... the death of a streetcar named Virginia Woolf. That was written so well. It was so fun. It was a dream, and a dream cast. And I've had a lot of dream casts, and people say I precast down here because a lot of people come back to audition for me, and I go politic and say, please come and audition for me. Claire and I took a few years away for our grandkids and then the pandemic and stuff. So we haven't been down here a lot. And I mean, the place has changed with, people changed, coming in and going out. So it was really hard this time, to get out there. A lot of our friends have moved away. And, this is a new experience, coming in with, I think Holly's the only one that I've worked with before, but they're just wonderful people, and I have a blast down here.
Yeah, I definitely have had several genuine laughs in watching this show. I've commented several times, I cannot take my eyes off of Monica. Everything she's doing, even when she's not the center point of the scene, when she's just sitting off to the side, I find... When I'm taking pictures, I'll just zoom in on her to watch what her face is doing, because her face is always doing something ridiculous and silly, and I'm hoping that audiences will really appreciate that. And everybody does little things like that off to the side that capture.
Yeah.
Willow as the old person falling asleep during Henne, going on and on and on and on and on about whatever he's talking about.
And for clarification, Monica doesn't have a silly or ridiculous face. She just
makes them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't want her to feel.
Also, she really plays the trombone. She comes in here and she actually plays the trombone
That's
around.
What I said.
There's a marching band scene even. So
yeah,
about that.
So obviously, you guys are kind of up against the gun here in terms of time because the show opens this coming Friday, the 15th. It runs for 2 weekends here at the Lakeside Players at the Rhodey Opera House. Tickets are available on rhodeycenter.org, rhodecenter.org. And again, it's 2 weekends. Do you, is there, why should people come see the show? If you could make a pitch to the people to say, hey, you should come see this show because, what would that be?
Because they owe me? No. No. If you want to laugh, please, please come. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, and you will laugh. And just, not just with how the show is written, but as you alluded to before, a lot of it is physical comedy. And that is not usually written into a script. Physical comedy is usually something that the directors and the actors work together to create.
Yeah. And
so you, the physical comedy that you guys have cultivated in this show is top notch, I think.
Thank you. You read the script, and I had a couple of people say to me, I read the script, and where's the funny? And I says, you have to look between the lines. It's there. It's not saying. But the people that have to create a character, and you add the lines, and it's funny. And they did that, and they are doing a great job.
Yeah. Well, some of it is in the vein of, like, very straightforward, deadpan, self-deprecating. So if you're reading it at face value, you just think, oh, this is a straightforward story. But then, like, when you look at, like, a movie like Airplane, they're playing that those roles so straight that the comedy's in the writing. It's not because they're trying to score. It's not set up punchline. And I think that should probably be, it's worth mentioning here that that's not the kind of show that this is. It's not just a standard, generic sitcom type, okay, here's the setup, here's the punchline. But also, you know, we've laughed a few times at some of the things that you said during this conversation. And I think that I can remember doing Odd Couple with you where we were laughing on stage a lot. So I think a lot of your sense of humor has sort of woven its way into the show. And I think it makes a huge difference because you know what funny is. And even if it's not, even if you're not the person who laughs easily like some other people, and there's nothing wrong with that, you know what funny is. So it's nice to see that you can take the material and say the laughs are there. You just have to mine for them in a way that isn't necessarily like, oh, I'm trying to score, or I'm doing pratfalls or anything ridiculous. It's just you have to play the scene appropriately.
Exactly.
So I guess I we could probably wrap this up at this time, unless you have anything else that you'd like to say, Alex or Steve.
I have nothing much to say. I am exhausted after this weekend of rehearsal. So I just hope people come out and enjoy and have a fun night with us and go home and talk about us and tell their friends. And
yeah, and definitely come support the theater.
Like, oh, definitely.
You're every person who comes through these doors, whether it be to see a show or for an event or a concert or whatever it is we have here, all of that goes to supporting the theater. This building is nearly 100 years old. It needs a lot of help.
Sure
needs
does.
A lot of support from our community. And we as an organization love putting on these shows for our community and outreaching to the people and having our audiences filled and hearing the laughs. As an actor, there's very little that comes close to the feeling of an audience laughing at something you've said or done on stage. It's truly like, for lack of a better term, it's like a drug. It's like a hit of something happy. To know that you did that for people and help them forget for an hour and a half all of the nonsense that's happening in the world around us and all of the stuff going on in our own lives. So we just encourage you, please come spend a night with us. Laugh at something silly on our stage. Look at all of the hard work that has gone into this, not just from the actors, but the set being built, the theater being cleaned, the people running our concession stand. These are all people that are just taking time out of their personal lives to come and give you a show and an experience.
I do have to say that it's in the year that I've been involved here, it's fun to see, because obviously COVID was a thing and it affected theaters and stuff like that. But
it was?
Yeah, right? It's fun to see people rediscovering community theater, but also I've noticed, as we all have, that many of the people that come to see these shows are just, they happen to be downtown grabbing a bite to eat next door, or they're driving by and they see the marquee and they're like, I'm going to stop in and check that out. And that is really, really cool, because they're experiencing something that they don't expect to experience, and they're always pleasantly surprised. And when we talk to people after the shows, those tend to be the people that that fill me with the most sort of like satisfaction, because it's like, it's not a family member, it's not a friend, it's not a loved one who came to support the show. And not that they're obligated to, but, you know, they do, because they want you to, they want to support you. But like the people that you had no idea who they are, you've never met them before, and they had no intention of ever seeing a show, and they walk by and they see the sandwich board outside, or they see the marquee and they're like, you know what? I was walking by, I saw the sign, I asked if tickets were available, I came in not knowing what to expect, and I had the best time, and I can't wait to see the next show. And I think this is one of those opportunities with this show that you may not know what to expect. And again, this is an Alfred Hitchcock story, but it's not the Hitchcock that you're used to. It's a comedy. Like you said, it's a straightforward show, but there's a lot of comedic moments in there, and you won't know what to expect, and that's okay. It's a fun story. The actors are very, very good in this story. People have worked really hard behind the scenes with lighting, with building the set, with moving the props, that kind of thing. So come in, sit back, be entertained for a little while by some talented performers. Go to the concession stand, grab some popcorn, grab a beverage, come in here, and just let community theater sort of take you on the ride that it always does, which is just to witness people entertaining you the best way that they possibly can, in a way that you don't get to see on TV. And I can't say it any more than that.
Yeah, the laughs will come differently every show. People just move differently and respond differently, slightly different, and it just makes you laugh.
Yeah, and I think with that, let's let Steve go get some rest. He deserves a well-timed relaxation session after this weekend.
Right. So Steve Mattner, one of the directors of 39 Steps, opens this Friday the 15th here at the Roadie and runs for 2 weekends through the 24th. Tickets available on roadiecenter.org, R-H-O-D-E, center.org. Steve, thanks for joining us today. This has been a lot of fun. We appreciate you taking the time, knowing that everything's going on.
Thank you.
And as always, on behalf of myself and my co-host Alex, thank you for everyone out there listening. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.